today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the travel gods are sending a very strong message to everyone who is traveling this summer, and it's coming from all different directions. The warning is updated next in the news.
Overcrowding is becoming an issue in a growing number of popular destinations. The group of travelers who like to reserve things at the last minute are not only paying a price, they aren't getting in. We discuss the importance of reserving key parts of your trip in advance, and that's all coming up. Make you a smarter traveler at 3:20.
On Easter Sunday, we aired an interview with Cindy Nickel, the Sacramento County Director of Airports. Cindy shared some great information about flying out of our city. Because that was a holiday and it was such an informative discussion, we offer a rare encore interview with Cindy Nickel, Airports Director, beginning at 3:35.
The busy travel season is just around the corner. Perfect time to be a regular listener to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
All I want on heaven, man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman. My co-host is, we are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hi, Mark.
Howdy there. How are you, my friend?
All right. I'll tell you, this has been quite an afternoon for you. In fact, last 7-9 days as you've traveled all over the country. You've seen a bunch of baseball, and more importantly, some baseball parks. For our listeners, wouldn't really notice probably, but Mark was barely able to get connected and get to his room and make the beginning of the show. I don't know if we've ever cut it this close before.
I'm not sure, but thanks to a bus driver who made some rather spectacular maneuvers between the ballpark and the Hyatt Regency in downtown Atlanta here, we are ready to go for the Travel Guys once again. At least anybody ever wonder if the show is live or not, why, we can kind of vouch for that today for sure.
Absolutely. Well, okay, why don't you give us a quick synopsis of what you've been up to and what all you've seen?
Well, we've been running around mostly to ballparks, and but this is Sports Leisure Vacations. So baseball is how the company was founded 40 years ago, and so we took off on a southern trip, which included Houston, Miami, Tampa. Now we're in Atlanta, and tomorrow we'll be headed home. And when we left, we thought, gee, and folks out there are thinking, wow, why would you go to all of those southern cities this late into the year? You know, the weather is getting kind of humid and hot here, but we've been very lucky, and the weather has been very nice to us, except for one night in Tampa. And of course, the major thing is Houston, Miami, and Tampa all have ballparks with either roofs or retractable roofs. So you can, if the elements outside are not so good, too hot, too cold, too rainy, whatever, why, you can still play baseball inside. So we've had a very good time. The most interesting thing, Tom, in a ballpark so far, every ballpark kind of has their own their songs and their different things that they do that are part of the ball game. In San Francisco, they have a Journey song that they play. And, of course, they play Tony Bennett's I Left My Heart in San Francisco after the ball game. In Texas, in the bottom of the seventh inning, in addition to Take Me Out to the Ball Game, they play Deep in the Heart of Texas. And everybody stands and claps, and it's a pretty big deal. So it's kind of fun to see the different baseball cultures, if you will, as we make it around the country. And the reason we came to these stadiums is because these are the ballparks that the folks who have been traveling with us have requested to see. And we were all just comparing notes a few minutes ago. And by golly, some of us are getting pretty close to having all 30 ballparks. So if you're a baseball fan, that is your epiphany, is to get to every single ballpark in the country. Folks who are not baseball fans are probably wondering what I'm rambling on about at this this point.
No, I think it's fascinating. People that travel, they have something that they want to, a lot of times that they want to do in each city, whether it's, you know, eat at the Cracker Barrel or like you guys go to different ballparks all across the country. I mean, I have only been to a few, but, you know, given the time, I think I would love to do that, and probably a lot of our listeners would, too. Well, okay, you want to get on with it?
Absolutely.
All right. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And here it comes. It's Huey Lewis and the news.
When I say
almost. We have Alex is with us this weekend. Luis, by the way, Mark, Luis went, he went surfing for the first time down in Malibu. And
wow.
He swallowed too much seawater and ended up sick today. I gave him a hard time about it. Between the surfing and Universal Studios, I think it took him out of it. So anyway, Alex, you got the power of love. Oh, there it is. Okay. And with the power of the travel news, here's Mark.
Hey, Thomas, we talked a little bit about in the headlines there about TSA, and a headline on one of my travel news services says, TSA says we are in for the summer from hell. This is what some of the TSA folks on the eastern side of the country are saying. The combination of TSA employees being taken off of their posts and rerouted to handle situations at the border, and the fact that it is a summer season, in fact, over Memorial Day weekend, TSA is reporting that they scanned more people on Memorial Day weekend than on any screen, more people than on any weekend in history. So it is fairly likely that we are going to see some fairly long lines and some delays this summer. So if you are traveling, we talk about this often on this program for a variety of reasons. There are always good reasons to get to the airport early, but I will just tell you the reasons now to get to the airport early are much greater, because the reality is that when planes are full, you might think, well, if I'm late to the airport, they'll just put me on the next plane. Well, what if there's not a seat on the next plane? Or what if you're flying on Frontier or Spirit or one of these carriers that doesn't fly every day? They only fly every 3 or 4 days. So the landscape is littered with people who have who thought they were traveling one day and then found out that they were not. And so I really strongly recommend that you consider getting to the airport at least an hour and 45 minutes, perhaps 2 hours before your flight departs. In Sacramento, we have some pretty serious issues with airport parking availability. And so if you're not out there early enough, there is a real possibility that you don't get through security, you don't catch your plane. And what a lousy way to begin a summer vacation or a business trip or any other kind of trip. So heed the warning here, folks. Security could be a mess this summer. And the other thing is, don't be fooled if you go to Sacramento and everything is fine there, because that doesn't necessarily mean, it just means that the guys in Sacramento are doing a really good job. It doesn't necessarily mean that you will be in the clear when you go to other airports. So, Tom, you head down to Texas every once in a while, and you're a fairly frequent traveler. Did you ever get the TSA pre-check?
I have not, you know, and I'll tell you why, and that's because I get it quite frequently, like 90% of the time, simply because I have flown a lot, and they've kind of identified me as someone that they automatically give it to. But I know that's a mistake, and it is something that I'm going to have to get taken care of. You know, not only are we in a situation where you're going to be dealing at it at the airports, but places that you go and you vacation are getting busier and busier too. I've heard the warnings that the new Star Wars, you know, Millennium Falcon ride there that had just opened a few days ago, people could be looking at 6-hour waits.
Well, and we're going to talk when we get to our Smarter Travel segment, Traveler segment here in just a few minutes, because we are seeing, and in fact, the employees at the Louvre in Paris took an action of their own in regards to overcrowding the other day. So it really is something that you need to give some thought to. And I know that our millennial friends tend to be more spontaneous and do it at the last minute, and it won't be a problem. But the reality is, we'll talk some more about that after the first news break. Here's kind of an interesting thing. This is a Southwest Airlines story. It involves a flight from Sacramento. A passenger asked a flight attendant if water being handed out was vodka because their flight had been delayed for several hours, and made a couple comments to the flight attendant, and the flight attendant didn't think it was too funny and called the sheriff. And I've read this three descriptions now of this story, and some of these quotes that I'm seeing here are from KTXL, one of our local television stations. But I guess the thing to talk about here, Tom, is that if you're on an airplane, and some of us like to joke around. Listen, I like a little sarcasm and a little humor as much as anybody else, and I've been known to get myself into hot water over it. And so heed the warning. These folks are under a lot of stress and pressure. If you've got a plane that's several hours late, you might want to refrain from making jokes to the flight attendants and stuff that they might find to be offensive, because those folks don't get paid unless they're flying. So when they're sitting at the airport with most carriers, they're not being paid either. So they're just as unhappy about the plane being delayed as you are. And a little courtesy and a little human decency will go a long ways. It's going to be crowded this summer. The airports are going to be crowded. The planes are going to be crowded. So if you can't deal with that, then don't travel. And if you do, if you feel like that you can handle that, why then maybe approach the airport with just a little bit more positive attitude. And once again, that just comes into trying to allow yourself a little bit more time at the airport. Here's a cute story about a young man in his early 20s who makes it a habit of trying to sneak into first-class lounges at airports, and he successfully snuck into one at LAX. Just recently, and you can find that whole story about his whole adventure of how he snuck into an airport first class lounge without a first class ticket at travelguysradio.com. In fact, you can find all kinds of interesting stories, and there are several there today, and we don't have time to mention all of them on the travel news, but you can pick them up at travelguysradio.com. And Tom, since my computer has frozen up temporarily, that is your travel news for today.
Well, there you go. All right. We are the Travel Guys, and as Mark pointed out, follow along at travelguysradio.com. All right, overcrowding has become quite an issue. We're going to see if we can help you to not only save you some money, but give you some tips to maybe actually be able to enjoy your vacation and participate in all that there is available to you. And we'll talk about that next on the Travel Guys. Oh, I forgot to take my snore stop. For heaven's sakes. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. This is Mark is where are you? I'm sorry.
I am in the Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, there you're in Atlanta, and I'm in the Hyatt Regency Studios for iHeartMedia alongside Cal Expo, looking into the DoubleTree parking lot. Anyway, welcome back. Welcome back to
It's a very glamorous, pretty glamorous job being a radio guy.
You know it. All right. We are the Travel Guys here every Sunday, 3 to 4. And around 3:20 each week, we bring you up to date on stuff that makes you a smarter traveler. Specifically, Mark, what you got?
Specifically. Well, Tom, we've talked on this program a number of times about the fact that overcrowding in some spots is causing some real problem. Popular destinations, especially during peak seasons, are experiencing some tremendous crowds and some lines that really are unbelievable. The employees at the Louvre Museum in Paris, France, which is absolutely arguably one of the 10 most popular museums in the world, according to NPR, members of the Louvre security and reception staffs walked off the job last week, causing the museum to close on Monday, with union representatives saying the museum is suffocating due to a 20% surge in visitors since in the last 8 years and a decline in staff of about 10%. So in this particular case, more people, fewer staff is making it an untenable situation for the staff. Here is the deal with the Louvre. 80% of the tickets are distributed in advance. 20% of the tickets are available beginning at 9 a.m. on the morning of admission. So the competition for tickets is very stiff. And a lot of folks are finding that they're getting to France and thinking that, well, I can just make a reservation when I get there. And the answer is not so much. Alcatraz tickets in San Francisco for this summer are only available at this point in time on a select number of days. There will be a few tickets that will be available each morning to the public at a designated time. But again, most of the tickets for most popular attractions now are being done online in advance. And in the past, there have been situations, the Louvre is a great example, where if you didn't have a ticket, you could show up, put your name on a wait list, and as people didn't show up with time-dated tickets, they would allow you in. No more. So many attractions now are dropping that, you know, you can show up and be on a standby list, and they're not allowing that any longer. So I really, really suggest to folks who are planning their vacation, if there is something that you really wanted to do, if you're going to Boston and touring Fenway Park is the one reason that you're going there, then you want to get your tickets for that tour in advance. Don't just show up and assume that you're going to be able to get tickets on the day of. Tom, you go to San Antonio a lot. There's a real popular monument down there in Texas, the Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
And so another example of places that people need to get a ticket for in advance in order to be able to be assured that they're going to be able to get in.
Right. Not that long ago, when we visited the Alamo, there were people, we did buy our tickets ahead of time. There was a gate that specifically got you in rapidly. The line just to get in at that time was like an hour and a half. And when you're in a city like San Antonio, particularly, you know, during the hot weather and the humidity, I mean, people were having to get out of line and go find some refreshments, some water or whatever, because an hour and a half in that kind of heat and humidity can be dangerous.
Absolutely. Well, in New York City, time-dated tickets are sold for Liberty Island and Ellis Island to take the ferry boat out to those two locations. So when the tickets are gone for the day, they're gone. That's it. One thing I might suggest to people, it's a little easier to get tickets out of New Jersey than it is out of Battery Park. But places like the Tower of London and the Van Gogh Museum, the Anne Frank Museum, both of those are in Amsterdam, are reporting that the demand for tickets is extremely high. And tickets, in many cases, when they're made available to the public for a period of time or certain days, the tickets will go on sale 3 months in advance or something like that. The tickets are being snapped up two or three times faster than they've ever been snapped up before. So Eiffel Tower, Buckingham Palace, Statue of Liberty is on this list. We already mentioned Alcatraz. So these are the Roman Colosseum. Many of these attractions are places that you just can't consider going to now unless you've got a ticket that you can get in advance. Or if it's not that important to you that you see some of these attractions, then that's fine. But don't plan an entire vacation around getting to the Empire State Building or getting to Liberty Island in New York City. A lot of folks don't know that the best pictures of the Statue of Liberty are actually taken from the ferry boat as opposed to getting off on the island and trying to take pictures of the statue that way, because Lady Liberty faces the harbor.
There you go. Do you think there will be a time where, you know, these kind of places everything will be reserve a time stamped. You'll have to have tickets. There will be no walk-ups.
Well, there's an interesting article from Travelers United, and I was just trying to real quickly there while you were talking, Tom, to see if it's on our list here. No, I don't see it online this week. But they're talking about how these reservation-only museums are ruining spontaneity Well, of course, if spontaneity is, you know, 5,000 people besieging a ticket office at 9 o'clock in the morning or spending the night on the sidewalk in order to be able to get a ticket or something, that's ridiculous. And in those situations where there is such demand, the online thing seems to be a reasonably fair way to do it. I guess the point here is that you're coming to San Francisco this summer and you're thinking, well, I'm going to go visit Alcatraz, or you live in Sacramento and you have some relatives who are coming this summer and you've suggested that, yeah, we're going to go down, or they say we're going to go to San Francisco for a couple days. One of the things that Joe really wants to do is he wants to go out and see Alcatraz. Well, that's great. You can buy tickets in advance. We'll get them a few weeks ahead of time. I have some really bad news for you. A few weeks ahead of time is probably going to result in disappointment. So if you want to see any of these major attractions and time-dated tickets are available, take it from the travel guys to be a smarter traveler. You need to consider, do your homework. You need to get your tickets the minute, the day, the hour, the week, the whenever that they go on sale. That's when you should be getting your tickets, because another thing is, if you get tickets to some of these really popular attractions and stuff, Tom, and you can't use them, there are things like StubHub and places like that where you can sell them. And also, for people who are getting shut out or not able to get what they want, some of these ticket resale sites may very well offer them the opportunity to be able to get into an attraction that they otherwise wouldn't be able to see. You're going to pay a premium, but if you've paid hundreds or perhaps thousands of dollars to go someplace, then paying an extra $50 to get into that one attraction that you want to see probably is not unreasonable to you.
Well, I would imagine, I hope that isn't an ambulance coming for you, Mark.
But something is going on here in downtown Atlanta, that's for sure, right now in the background.
Well, you know, Sports Leisure Vacations takes people to a lot of museums and to a lot of famous locations that probably need time-dated, pre-bought tickets. Do you have somebody in your office, basically? You might have to hire somebody just full-time just to kind of organize that. That seems like a really, really big job.
We have all hands on deck things every once in a while when tickets for something special are going on sale and everybody has to hit the telephone at the same time and all the part-time people from home are dialing on their phones and whatever. Coming up after the news, Tom, we have a very special interview. Why don't you tell folks about it?
Sure enough, back on Easter Sunday, we had Cindy Nickel. Cindy is the Sacramento County Director of Airports. We spent pretty close to a half an hour with her talking about all that is coming to Sacramento's new airport, all of the changes, all of the great things that are going to be in our future as flyers. Join us for the next half hour right after the news with Cindy Nickel right here on The Travel Guys. Keep it here. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And if you're just joining us, our guest is Cindy Nickel, the director of Sacramento Airports. And we are talking about, what's new and what's old and what's in our future. And one of the things that seems to be on a lot of people's minds, if they're renting cars at the airport, is the price of gas at that AM PM. Mark?
The gas price. This has been mentioned to me by more than one person. The highest gas price in Sacramento can be found at the AM-PM market there by the airport. And AM-PMs are traditionally a little bit cheaper. This is nitpicking, I realize, but sure, it's something that comes up from time to time. Is that service station part of an airport concession? In other words, do they pay a fee to the airport, and that explains why the gas prices are higher?
So the main reason, really, by far, that it's the higher gas prices because we require them to take credit cards in order to best serve our passengers. So other AM and PM ARCO stations don't necessarily take credit cards. So we actually do a monthly survey where we go out in the Sacramento area and we survey what the comparable prices are at Shell and Chevron's, et cetera, that do take credit cards. And we require that AMPM must be within 5% of their prices.
Okay.
And to answer your question about the business model, they just pay us ground rent. That's it.
Okay. That was just a speculative question on my part. Yeah. All right. Within 5%. I'm going to keep an eye on that, Cindy, and you can trust me to report back to you if I find that to be out of. And yeah, the only reason I mention it is because many airports, Orlando airports, are infamous for this, for having $6 gas when gas is $4 at all the service stations nearest to the airport, forcing people who rented cars. And it's the last impression that you have of a city is that you got skewered at the airport. You worked in Portland, and Portland does works very hard at their airport to make sure that everything is as good as it can be. Airports are stressful places. Good grief, they've got a movie theater in the Portland airport. And I'll go back to my question from earlier. Is there something in Portland that you'd like to see us have in Sacramento?
You know, I really would like to continue to be always thinking about ways that we can have bring the flavor of our region to the airport and be creative about the kinds of things that we provide. The reality is in Portland, they have a very large staff that directly manages all of their concessions. So the question for us would be, are we able to justify that? I'll give you an example. So when they did their last round of concessions for food and beverage, they had their staff out, go out and talk to more than 900 local businesses. That's a lot. Imagine
how holy
much
cow
time that would take.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But the Portland, but the food that's available in the Portland airport has a definite local flavor. Mm-hmm. It's the only airport in the country where you can get Moe's clam chowder.
See what Mark's interested
You can tell. Well, and it's a wonderful blend. And the Portland airport always has this amazingly calmer feel to it, and it's something. It's not like Sacramento is hectic or anything, but I look at the Portland airport and sometimes I think, wow, that would be nice. What if we had a Made in Sacramento store like they have Made in Oregon and Made in Washington, had a Made in California store?
Right, exactly. That would be great. Yep. So part of the reason for the calm feel, by the way, is the carpet I mentioned earlier.
The carpet.
Yes, they have a very iconic carpet, which muffles lots of sound. Mm-hmm. They've also made a conscious choice. Part of the reason it doesn't feel as disturbing as some airports is because they've made a conscious effort not to have those carts that beep at you as they're driving around.
Right.
So they only use wheelchairs, but there's a whole philosophy around what they want the airport to be, which is similar to what we want to have here.
Certainly the carpeting, beats down that sound. It's quite different. And I also, it gives you the opportunity to do something that you might not be able to do in a conventional airport, and that is to, have some really talented local artist on acoustic guitar entertaining as you're walking by, which is really cool. We're with Cindy Nickel, Director of Airports, and you are listening to the Travel and Entertainment Guy. Cindy, what's your most pressing project on hand at the moment?
Right now is the runway project. So we are really focused on that. We want to get the West Runway completed here at International Airport as quickly as we can, and are working very hard toward that. Secondly, I would say is getting all of our plans in place for what else we need to provide here.
So perhaps for what we were talking about, the terminals and stuff. Mm-hmm. Cindy, recently something has come up that came up many years ago, right after the airport was first built, and that is concerns about noise abatement and noise from planes taking off and stuff like that. And I sometimes I shake my head at those things because you don't have to comment on that. This is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. You move close to an airport, you might realize that there might be some noise. Heck, I might even stay in a hotel that was in the neighborhood a couple of nights to make sure that I could tolerate the sound before I spent $300,000 or $400,000 on a home. But nonetheless, that's just me. Cindy, tell me, how is the noise situation at the airport being addressed? I know there were some changes in flight plans a few years ago to make flying in a little more efficient. So just address that if you can.
Yes, indeed. So the next gen initiative by the FAA, which determines what the flight paths are that aircraft take, the Next Gen initiative was intended to really make aircraft operations more efficient. And so that entailed basically narrowing the corridor, if you think of it as a corridor in the air that the airline flights take. So that has had the effect of concentrating some of the noise effects on some of our communities. And, we work with them. We take it seriously. Luckily, we are not in the same situation as other airports in the country. I used to work at Boston Logan International Airport, which had a lot of communities that were subjected to very high levels of noise, higher than 65 decibels, which is the FAA's sort of demarcation for where you start to want to do soundproofing and that kind of thing. The neighborhoods we have, none are within the 60 decibel contour, which is good, but some of them are quite close to that. So, you know, we do take that very seriously. The other thing that's happening is this summer, while we're doing the construction on the west runway, means that all of our operations are on the east runway, which is closer to the communities that are affected by noise. Mm-hmm. So we will be finishing that project, we hope, the third week of October.
And did I see something that planes coming in while part of that work is going on, that planes that come in after a certain time in the evening, if a plane was very delayed, it might have to be diverted because the runway wouldn't be open?
So we need to do that's a great point. So we need to do standard regular maintenance on that runway, the one runway that's going to be operational or that is operational right now. So every first and third Sunday, we're going to close that runway for that routine maintenance from 12:30 midnight to 5:30 in the morning from the Saturday to Sunday. So all we've done very close coordination with all of the airlines. They're all very aware and they know to plan for that.
So it is possible that if a plane came in after 12, well, it's not possible, it is the reality that if a plane comes in after 12:30, it'll have to go to another airport.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, well, good to know. But Cindy, you've been very gracious with your time here. Before I let you go, I have a couple of not quite as airporty questions. Mm-hmm. I noticed in your biography that you have a master's in African American studies from Harvard, and that seems like a strange combination for an airport person, so I just thought I'd ask you about that.
So you kind of have that right. I have a master's degree in African studies from the University of London. And the reason for that is I grew up in Ethiopia, and it's very close to my heart. And the reason I like aviation is because for half of the year, the only way we could get out to the far west of Ethiopia where we lived was by flying. And I just thought that was so cool. We were in these little DC-3 aircraft. So, and then my degree from Harvard is in public policy, which is where I concentrated on transportation.
So you lived in Ethiopia?
Yeah.
And not downtown in a major city, it sounds like.
No, I was out in the far boondocks of western Ethiopia.
Wow. You have any favorite hobbies when you're not airporting? What do you like to do?
Yes, indeed. So, in fact, I go back to Ethiopia every year where I do volunteer work around women's health.
Anything you would like to share, anything we haven't asked you or anything you would like to communicate or what you hope to do going forward?
Yes, indeed. What I would say is we really do love being Sacramento's airport as well as the broader region, and are always interested in people's ideas for how to make it have more of a sense of place.
Well, thank you, Cindy. Cindy Nickel, the Director of Airports for Sacramento County. Thank you so much, not only for your time, but you've provided us with some terrific information. And I hope you'll know that the door is always open at the Travel Guys. If you ever have something that you would like to share with folks or a piece of information, or you just would like some feedback, please consider our door always open.
Great. Thank you very much.
Well, Mark, that's the second time I've had a chance to hear this interview as we aired it back on Easter Sunday, and we got so much great information, and I'm so happy that Cindy Nickel took the time out of her busy day to come and join us here on the Travel Guys. Certainly looking forward to all of the things we talked about, all of the extra parking that's going to be available. Who knows what airlines may show up, more gates, more places to go, you know, maybe quicker and better ways to do things.
A lot of new carriers are coming to Sacramento, so that haven't been here before, and they have different levels of service. So be careful. Do your homework. Know what you're buying. Again, as we emphasized in the beginning part of the program, the biggest favor that you can do yourself, the people that you're traveling with, and the people who are meeting you on the other end when you're going to the airport is go a little early. So you'll have enough time to be able to get through the airport. And the Sacramento airport is a nice place to be. Listen, it was rated as one of the best medium-sized airports in the whole darn country. So if you're there for an extra 15 or 20 minutes, it's not going to be a serious problem.
All right. Next week on the Travel Guys, my buddy Scott McClain, fire chief with Cal Fire, is going to join us. We're going to talk about some things to help make you safe while you travel, you camp, and so forth in our wildernesses and out and about in California this summer, and keep it fire safe. Mark, that's it for now.
Thank you, Thomas. Dance like nobody's watching. Catch yourself a ball game once or twice. It is still the American pastime.